Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo on In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800 AM. Thank you for joining me today. It's January 25th on Thursday, and I'm broadcasting from Westchester, Pennsylvania. And do I have a treat for you as far as talking about the different readings in Gospel for this coming fourth Sunday of Ordinary Time. And some of the topics that we're going to talk about today, did you know that Moses gave a valedictory address? And did you know that God had some prophecies in that address, which then begs the question, is Jesus really the Messiah? Or was he a liar or a lunatic? What about the Catholic Church? Is the Catholic Church the one true church that God founded himself? And what about the Eucharist? Is that really the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ? So these are some of the topics. That's just in the first reading that we're going to go through from the book of Deuteronomy. And then also we're going to go through different topics about what does it mean to be a single person compared to being married. Is being a single person something to be looked down upon or frowned upon or somebody that you will pity? And what do you think about celibacy? Well, that talks about in our second reading today. And then the gospel is talking about exorcism. So we got a lot to talk about in today's program. So I hope you stay tuned for this program. So let's start off by giving glory to our Father in heaven. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. All right, everybody. So as some of our loyal listeners are accustomed to, is I like to start off the first segment of our program from a book called The Wisdom of the Saints, 365 Days of Inspiration, and it's from Matthew Kelly's DynamicCatholic.com apostolate, Be Bold, Be Catholic. And I'm going to go over some of the quotes from this past week of January 22nd through this Sunday, the 28th, and try to give some of my own commentary about it. The first quote is from January 22nd, and it's regarding suffering. And this is from St. Ignatius of Loyola. So he was, again, the founder of the Jesuits, and he was from the 1500s. And he talks about suffering. He knows, a bunch of suffering, of course, because he was a soldier and he was injured. I think he was hit by a cannonball and it injured his leg. So he's laid up in bed for all that time. And so he knows what suffering was about. And I think the story goes that he wanted to read some books for entertainment. I don't think they were good books. And so I think the nuns or the people who were taking care of him decided to give him books on the saints or the scripture or both, something like that, if my memory serves right. And it changed his life to the point that he became a priest and started his own order. So this is his little quote on suffering. It says, if God causes you to suffer much, it is a sign that he has great designs for you and that he certainly intends to make you a saint. I'll read it again. This is from St. Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits. If God causes you to suffer much, it is a sign that he has great designs for you and that he certainly intends to make you a saint. So this is very consoling, but at the same time, it starts off, it says, if God causes you, it's again, it says, if God causes you to suffer much. So if you understand that God can allow you to suffer, and there are books about that, abandonment to divine providence others to help you understand. But if you do have this suffering, we'll talk about it a little later with one of the quotes, that it actually says here from St. Ignatius, it's a sign that he has great designs for you. And that was very applicable to St. Ignatius because, again, he was wounded, I thought, by a cannon ball or the shrapnel from it. And so that he understood that, wow, that is a great design for him, and that God really intended to make Ignatius to be a saint. And lo and behold, he was the founder of the order. So this can happen in reality and to be a real canonized saint. Of course, we all want to be saints, meaning to get to heaven. And so that's not only one of the goals is to be a saint, but let's not forget when we pray the Our Father, right, we want to do his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? That's what the main thing, the main prayer is, but we want to bring his kingdom here. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come is what we have to do. All right, so let's go to another quote. This is from the next day, January 23rd, regarding patience from St. Anthony the Great. Now, there's not many saints that are called great. We got St. Anthony the Great. We got St. Albert the Great, Leo the Great. We talk about St. Pope John Paul the Great. I don't think that's an official title, though. That's very popular. And also there's St. Gertrude the Great. I think the only female called the Great. Anyway, this St. Anthony is different from the St. Anthony of Padua from Spain. So this St. Anthony is actually from Egypt, and he has many names, so you might get confused, but he goes by the name Anthony the Great or Anthony of Egypt or Anthony the Abbot because, he's considered the father of all monks. He also is called Anthony of the Desert because he was an Egyptian, monk living out in the desert. He also is called Anthony the Anchorite and Anthony the Hermit and Anthony of Thebes. So there's a lot of names for him. He's the one also that wrote that famous biography on the life of St. Athanasius of Alexandria. So that's a really good read if anybody's interested in reading about St. Athanasius of Alexandria. The one who wrote that, again, was Anthony. I have it the other way around. I meant St. Anthony's life was written by Athanasius of Alexandria. And so if you want to read the life of St. Anthony by St. Athanasius, you can do so. All right, so here's the quote, actually, regarding patience. It says, "The fruits of the earth are not brought to perfection immediately, but by time, rain, and care. Similarly, the fruits of men ripen through ascetic practices, time, study, perseverance, self-control, and patience." So here St. Anthony talks about, like any of you gardeners out there or farmers out there, or weekend warriors where you, not warriors, but weekend gardeners where you plant things. And it takes a while, right? The rain, the time, the water, the soil, the fertilizer, caring for it. And so St. Anthony's saying the same thing about the fruits that we will produce. We're supposed to produce fruits of the Spirit. We're all given gifts of the Holy Spirit when we receive the sacraments, especially like confession, and we'll talk about that when we talk about the gospel today, that when we have, let's say, confession, we receive all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's up to God the proportion that we get, but we get it all. But these gifts of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord, these gifts are supposed to bear fruit, right? And there are 12 fruits. And this is what St. Anthony is talking about, that it takes, patience and self-control. It takes perseverance. It takes time, but also involves study. So I'm glad for those of you who are listening, when you hear these words from these great saints, or when we read scripture here and I share commentary, that it's helping you study as well. You're just hearing it verbally, but it also helps you when you go to Mass that, you know, the priest, he's limited to giving a short homily of 8 minutes, whereas, you know, some other some denominations, you know, that they go for a long time, you know, like an hour or even more, whereas we only get 8 minutes. Some people like to go to Bible study, which is great. I highly recommend that. Go to your local parish or find a parish that has Bible study or goes over some great products from Ascension Press, which is located in Westchester, Pennsylvania, here where I live. But also there's things that you're saying about aesthetic practice. In other words, like there's power in praying and also mortifying. In other words, sacrificing. So even though it's not Lent, you can still sacrifice, like making sure you don't eat meat on Fridays, or you can sacrifice by having a fast on Wednesdays and Fridays. Different sacrifices like that. This is what St. Anthony's talking about, that those fruits that we're supposed to bear, the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit, can come through such ascetic practice, through study. And study can come in the form of, like you guys are hearing me speak right now, but also I ask you to dive into the readings as well. You know, take the time to read Scripture and pray along with it. And persevere in doing this, and control. You have the self-control to say, you know what, instead of spending time, you know, watching TV or playing games, I'm going to go into Scripture, which is actually God's Word itself. And then to have the patience to do so, because the fruits that will happen, such as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, modesty, and chastity. See, these are the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. This will happen in time. All right, so let's go into here. This is a great quote. This is from St. Albert the Great about prayer. It's for January 26th, which is tomorrow. But this is about prayer, and it says, the greater and more persistent your confidence in God, the more abundantly you will receive all that you ask. This is St. Albert the Great. So his name is Albert Magnus, right? So it says, the greater and more persistent your confidence in God, the more abundantly you will receive all that you ask. All right, and here's a quote from today, January 25th, about the cross. This is from St. Louis de Montfort, who wrote that great book that I love called The Secret of the Rosary. In fact, I give talks on this, and if you're interested in me giving a talk on The Secret of the Rosary from St. Louis de Montfort's book, I give a nice presentation with slides and so forth. Please feel free to contact me. Leave a message there at In His Science Catholic Radio with Maureen. All right, and here is the quote from St. Louis de Montfort. It says, whenever you are given a cross, be sure to embrace it with humility and gratitude. If God, in his infinite goodness, favors you with a cross of some importance, be sure to thank him in a special way. Again, whenever you are given a cross, be sure to embrace it with humility and gratitude. If God, in his infinite goodness, favors you with a cross of some importance, be sure to thank him in a special way. Now, this ties in, doesn't it, with the suffering quote that I had from St. Ignatius of Loyola that said, if God causes you to suffer much, it is a sign that he has great designs for you, and that he certainly intends to make you a saint. So literally take a cross and kiss it and thank God for the cross that he gave you, because this will make you a saint, but it's because he favors you. And so thank him for it. And remember, this is part of being a follower of Jesus Christ, that those who do not want to pick up their cross and follow him are not worthy of him. So we we who are real Christians, real followers of Jesus Christ, we should take up our cross and follow him and to thank God for it, even though it's something that, you know, we don't really want, but at the same time, that's what we're commissioned to do. And when you do such things that you don't even really want to, you are actually doing God's will. Remember that story that Jesus told about two sons that were told to go work in the vineyard? One said yes, and the other said no. But the one who said yes didn't do it. But the one that said no ended up doing it. And Jesus asked the crowd who was listening, who did the Father's will? It was the one who originally said no, but did it. So you may originally be the one who rejects the cross and says, I don't want this suffering. I don't like this arthritis. I don't want this back pain. I don't want this cancer. I don't like this Parkinson's. I don't like this psychological illness. And whatever you may have, I don't want like this financial problem. I don't like this marriage issues. But if you actually thank God and embrace it, and which is actually not intuitive at all, it's counterintuitive, then God will actually reward your confidence in him. And this is what St. Albert the Great was talking about. The greater and more persistent your confidence in God, the more abundantly you will receive all that you ask. So if you're confident that God will help you in spite of this cross of suffering, this is where he's going to reward you all the more. Because what the evil one wants you to do is get angry at God and sin against him because you do have a cross. Anyway, here's the last thing, the last thought I wanted to say here is about grace, and it comes from St. Rose of Lima. And it's a short one. It just says, grace comes after tribulation. Grace comes after tribulation. So a little motto is, you know, it's the cross before the crown, right? And so there's, you know, no pain, no gain, no guts, no glory. So this is just the opposite way of looking at it. St. Rose of Lima says grace comes after tribulation, and that tribulation is like the guts. You have to have the guts before the glory. You have to have the pain before the gain, and the gain would be the grace. And Jesus had the cross, that's the tribulation, before the crown, which is where he was in glory and saved us from sin and opened up the gates of heaven. All right, so I hope you enjoyed this first segment on the wisdom of the saints. So let's dive in now to the readings where we can get into Moses' valedictory address and some of the prophecies in there from God himself through the lips of Moses and how that relates to us now regarding our Catholic Church, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Eucharist. So here is the reading from Deuteronomy. And you can think of actually Deuteronomy as Moses' valedictory speech. It's pretty much the whole book, if you think about it that way, meaning it's his farewell address, okay? So before he dies. So here it is. Moses spoke to all the people saying, a prophet like me will the Lord your God raise up for you from among your own kin. To him you shall listen. This is exactly what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let us not again hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, lest we die. And the Lord said to me, this was well said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their kin, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall tell them all that I command him. Whoever will not listen to my words, which he speaks in my name, I myself will make him answer for it. But if a prophet presumes to speak in my name, an oracle that I have not commanded him to speak, or speaks in the name of other gods, he shall die. The word of the Lord. Well, these are pretty huge words that Moses are speaking, and then God speaks through Moses. And so, again, like I was mentioning here, how you can look at the book of Deuteronomy as Moses' farewell speech. It's his valedictory speech. And what's key here is, Moses is saying that God will send a prophet like Moses, and that he will be from their own kin. And he's actually telling them, you're going to listen to him. He's commanding them that you're going to listen to this person that I'm sending. Well, who is this person like Moses? Well, of course, that's Jesus Christ, because he's the new Moses. All right? So if you look at it in terms of that, God the Father is telling Moses that I'm going to send somebody like you, okay? And it's going to come from your own kin. And God says through Moses that it says that I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among them their kin, and will put my words into his mouth. And so here's the key. So Jesus did prophesy, but he was not just a prophet. So some people may use this as an example. Oh, well, then look at Scripture says here that the person that God sent is Jesus, and he's just a prophet. Well, no, let's go further. It goes on and says here in Deuteronomy, he said that I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their kin, and will put my words into his mouth. And then, so, but who is the word of God that was made flesh? That is Jesus Christ himself. And that is what St. John, the evangelist, says. He begins, like, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was among us, and the Word dwelt among us, and the Word was God. I'm paraphrasing. I don't have the quote memorized, but it's something like that. So it goes on here that it says that we know that there were other prophets that were sent to Israel, such as Samuel, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. They were like Moses and similar to him. But however, if we look at the epitaph of Moses, it actually says it says, since then no prophet has arisen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And this is in Deuteronomy 34. So Deuteronomy itself says that there has not been a prophet arisen in Israel like Moses. There hasn't. Well, that's because you look at these other prophets, Samuel, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. They didn't do or even come close to what Moses did. So the only one that fulfills that prophecy and also underscores this statement of Deuteronomy 34 is Jesus Christ himself, who is the new Moses, who went on the mount and spoke to the people and summarized in the Sermon on the Mount, essentially the first five books of the Bible, the Torah. So he's the new Moses. Jesus is the new Moses, and he is he's the one that fulfilled this prophecy that God said that he will put words into his mouth, and that he will tell all the people what God the Father commands him. And this is the scary part. It says, whoever will not listen to my words, which he speaks. In other words, whoever will not listen God the Father's words, which Jesus speaks in his name, in God the Father's name, God the Father essentially says, I myself will make him answer for it. And here's the other scary thing. But if a prophet presumes to speak in my name, an oracle that I have not commanded him to speak, or speaks in the name of other gods, he shall die. Now, that's God the Father speaking. So in other words, if there's false prophets out there, people who claim to hear the word of God or speak in God's name, they better look at this, what Moses farewell address. He's speaking in God's name, right? He's speaking for God here. And so this also dives into, like, if other people speak from other, think their false gods are really superior to ours, or their believe their church or their religion is truer or better than ours, then they better pay attention to what this says. And this goes into how I led the radio show. Because if this is not true, that means then what we in the Catholic Church, then we would be in the wrong church. If what this is saying is true, then what we are doing in the Catholic Church, we're actually following a false teaching then. And who would be the false teacher then? Then that would be Jesus, because he either is God himself, or he's a crazy person, a lunatic, or a liar. But we know through his actions and his miracles and his teachings that he can't be crazy, he can't be a lunatic, and he can't be a liar. Now, this is something that you might have heard of, popularized by C.S. Lewis. Is Jesus Lord, lunatic, or liar? That argument. Or Josh McDowell would talk about that too. But originally it came from, if I remember right, St. Thomas Aquinas, the Lord, is Jesus being Lord, lunatic, or a liar? And so when you go through the reasoning here, you will see that Jesus has to be the Lord. And also this goes into the same thing about the Eucharist, that if Jesus is not truly God, the Son of God, and if he really didn't die and rise from the dead and pay for our sins and didn't start the Catholic Church, and then the Eucharist that we receive in Mass would be idolatrous. So it's all like it all falls to pieces if what Jesus said is false. Because right here in Deuteronomy, in the first five books of the Bible, God the Father talks through Moses and says, if a prophet presumes to speak in my name an oracle that I have not commanded him to speak, or speaks in the name of other gods, he shall die. Okay? Now, Jesus did die, but the thing with Jesus, of course, he died and he raised himself up from the dead. And that's how he defeated death and paid for our sins and opened up the gates of heaven so we can be with him. But we have to build God's kingdom and do his will. All right. And so this is something that's very important, that this book of Deuteronomy here. And so we're coming here to the bottom of the hour. And so we're going to take a break now, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the Psalms and about seeing what do we do if you're living single, the single life, or a married life. How should we look upon the single life? And then we'll talk about the Gospels also, which delves into exorcism. And so we'll be right back. So hang on.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road? As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo here on In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns. Thank you for joining me here today. I hope you heard the first half of our program. We talked about a lot of things about Moses' valedictory address, his farewell address, which is essentially the whole book of Deuteronomy. And there was a warning there, a prophecy also, from God the Father through Moses, that he would send somebody like Moses. And, of course, that was Jesus Christ who fulfilled that prophecy. And so here is the next readings. Actually, I just want to touch upon the psalm. And it says here, this is a psalm that we're very familiar with, those especially who do the Liturgy of the Hours, or it's also called the Breviary. They may pray this every day, actually. It's Psalm 95. It says, "If you hear his voice, harden not your hearts." And the reason why I bring this up is actually because it ties into the first reading. Now, for those who are joining us, I promised you that when I go into the second reading from Corinthians today and the Gospel of Mark, that we're actually going to talk about the vocation of being single and versus the sacrament of marriage and even the sacrament of holy orders. And then we're going to talk about exorcism. But this is very important, too, that I want to link the connection between Psalm 95, where it says, "If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts." And so this actually also refers to how the Jews, they didn't actually want to hear God's voice. The Israelite tribes. And not only did they not want to hear God's voice, I mean, that's where, you know, in Deuteronomy, that's why God was telling Moses to tell the people that you will listen to, you know, this person that I'm sending to you. And that's Jesus Christ, of course. And so I'll quote it exactly. It says, "This is exactly what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, 'Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see the great fire anymore, lest we die.'" And then the Lord said to Moses, this was well said. So when the people said, they were so scared, they said they don't want to hear God's voice and they don't want to see his fire anymore because they knew they were going to die. And so when they said that, God actually affirmed them and said, "This is well said." But he did say that he's going to send somebody among them that you will listen to, and that is Jesus Christ. And he was warning people, God the Father is warning people through Moses, that whoever is not going to listen to the words which Jesus speaks. Now, again, I'm paraphrasing because the way it's said is that whoever will not listen to my words, meaning God the Father, which he speaks, meaning Jesus, I myself will make him answer for it. So I'm so glad that you all are listening on the airwaves through WTMR 800 AM and through Indian Catholic Radio, listening also through streaming, you know, TuneIn Radio or iHeart Radio or the different streaming apps, that this is can help you, so you will be able to go against God because he wants you to hear it. Okay, and then, but here's the thing. Here's the part of the Psalms, how it connects, that these, you see how the Israelite tribes actually didn't want to listen to God. And in fact, in the book of Numbers, there are 10 times that the people rebelled against God through Moses. And so this is very important why God said, he's in this Psalm, you know, if today you hear his voice, harden not your heart, essentially saying, if you hear me talking to you, you better listen. And in Deuteronomy, again, it says here, he says, if you don't, I myself will make you answer for it. All right. And then if you start listening to the wrong people, God the Father warns, let's say, if you listen to a prophet that says he's speaking in God's name, but God actually didn't tell him, then that prophet is going to die, you know, according to God, all right? And also who speaks about other gods in the name of other gods. These are false gods, all right? That's also something that God the Father talks about, that he shall die. So let's go into Corinthians now. This is the second reading. It says, this is about married life, celibacy, and the single life. Okay, it says, brothers and sisters, I should like you to be free of anxieties. An unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. Wait, I'm going to stop right there. I don't know about you, or if you look at the demographics or the statistics, when people are single right now, whether they're an unmarried man or unmarried woman, I don't know if it's accurate to say that they're anxious about the things of the Lord. I think they're anxious about the things of the world, right? I don't know about you. What do you think? I mean, you know, thinking about how are they going to look on social media, or what are they going to say on social media, or how they're going to look on whatever pictures or so forth, or what music or what entertainment or games they're going to play or movies they're going to watch. I don't think they're really anxious about the things of the Lord. So this may not be applicable to our time, which just shows where has our society and culture gone? Because back then, that was the assumption, that an unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord. In other words, like, what can he do to please the Lord? Okay, and actually, that's what it says. It goes on. I'll continue. It says, an unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But a married man is anxious about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. So it looks like his loyalties are split. Like, oh, I gotta, you know, earn a living for my wife and family, and you know, and how am I gonna climb the corporate ladder? And so his world is split. But then again, you know, in my opinion, it's like, you know, married men are probably more interested in themselves, gambling or sports or some other kind of, you know, time sucker, you know, whether it's, you know, playing games or just, you know, watching, you know, TV or, you know, just binge watching on all these shows. You know, you just pick your streaming service to just watch it end over end there. And they may not even be concerned about their wife. They may be concerned about living the single life when they're married. They're like married single. So they just go out with their buddies, going out in the bar, and not even paying attention to their wife or children, or the other way around. The wife can be acting like a married single person, going out with her lady friends, going out to sports bars and taverns, and just leaving the kids and the husband at home to fend for themselves or fend for the whole weekend. So let me go on. It says, but a married man is anxious about the things of the world and how he may please his wife, and he is divided. An unmarried woman or a virgin is anxious about the things of the Lord, so that she may be holy in both body and spirit. Now, again, this assumes that the unmarried woman is a virgin. Now, there's a lot of statistics out there that say how many stayed chaste before they got married or stayed a virgin. In fact, you may also know that a lot of young girls are teased about being a virgin. They even made movies about, you know, how if a person's a virgin, that to be looked down upon. Whereas here, we know that it's a virtue, and it still is a virtue. it says, this goes on, a married woman, on the other hand, is anxious about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And again, like I already talked about how there could be some married women out there doing this. Now, please forgive me if you think that I am pointing the finger or putting people down if they do this. All right. In one sense, you know, there are people that do this, but in the other sense, we know that God is merciful, right? So this goes into the Psalms, that if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Because when the words here from Scripture and my commentary may be something that you may not like, just know, again, what Jesus says here. He says it gently as well as can be taken in a harsh way. It depends on how you want to look at it, half empty or half full. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. In other words, be soft-hearted. You know, open your heart, and then you will let the truth come in. Because if we aren't like this right now, if you have anxieties, anxiety essentially is really comes from fear. And when anxieties occur when a person wants to now flee from such fears, that then is actually depression. Okay, so then there are, subset of anxieties that really come from fear that actually is something more spiritual that should be taken and addressed spiritually. And this is where we need our priests and spiritual directors and confession and prayer that can really help. All right, so let's go on. And it says here, St. Paul, you know, it's his feast day today. Not his feast day, it's the conversion of St. Paul. And so this is a special reading also from this coming Sunday. He goes on and says why he's saying all this, just like I was trying to explain to you why am I giving these commentaries as well. St. Paul is saying, I'm telling you this for your own benefit. Okay, he's saying it's for your own benefit, not to impose a restraint upon you, but for the sake of propriety in adherence to the Lord without distraction. And so the reason is, why is he saying this? He's not trying to put handcuffs on you. He's actually trying to give you freedom. And this is the positive side of it. So if you want, again, look at a glass of water, you can look at it as glass half empty or glass half full. And so what I wanted to talk about, the single life versus, you know, married life and also celibacy, we have to understand that we shouldn't look down on our beloved young people or even if somebody is, you know, just a grown adult, if they're not married. We should not look with them as if, oh, we should pity them or that they missed out or there's something wrong with them or that they're not happy. They can't be happy or their life is incomplete. That's actually the wrong way to perceive and look at people who are single. So St. Paul gives us the proper perspective, because he actually encourages singleness. Well, why? Because it means freedom, okay? It's freedom to be fully focused on the Lord. And when you have this freedom, you can actually be able to do what the Lord wills. And so we shouldn't pity a single Christian. We shouldn't pity them as they're incomplete or feel bad for them that they missed out, when actually God may call them to the single life, to be celibate, to use that inner power to focus on prayer and service. And so these are the people who actually can live out what God says in the Psalms: if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. And so the single person doesn't have those obligations and ties, whether they're married without children at this point or married with children. They're able to hear and respond quickly and fully to the voice of God with so much zeal and power, vim and vigor. And so, and before, like when there were men who were celibate, in other words, they were single and they voluntarily chose to commit themselves to celibacy. And in the early centuries, in the early church, these Christian men who made the voluntary decision to be celibate, they were actually the ones that were chosen. They were chosen to then, why don't you become a brother or a priest? Why don't you enter the religious life to be a brother or to be a priest? So this is how the celibacy grew about. It was chosen first. Whereas the way we look at it now, it's like, oh, when a person goes into a seminary and they become ordained, they are restrained now and have to be celibate, as if they are, you know, taking away this part of their life. When in actuality, the reality of the history of the church was, it was men who were celibate before they went to the priesthood or before they went to the brotherhood. They had volunteered, and from those men, they were asked and chosen to be joining the religious life and the priesthood. That is actually the proper framework that priestly celibacy has in the Latin rite. So it's not that men are restricted and it's imposed on men as if it's punishment. Oh, so you want to be a priest? Ah, you have to be celibate. It's not that way at all. It's actually the men who go into the priesthood, they should already be chaste and celibate. They shouldn't have problems with their chastity. And that's where, in my opinion, it seems like there's a problem for those who went into the seminary and then later became a priest or dropped out or whatever. You know, this is something that they should think about. Here's an example for you of Opus Dei, the Prelature of Opus Dei, the work of God in Latin, and that was founded by St. Jose Maria Escriva. And they actually fostered celibate vocations for their lay people. And then, you know, periodically they requested some of these men to seek ordination. So even to this day, this is how it is done. And so I just wanted to make sure you understand that we should not look down on single people. We should actually look up to them because they are free and unencumbered to do God's will. And this is where you can see, you know, like people like St. Paul. Look at St. John the Baptist. Look at St. John the Apostle. These were people who were celibate, of course, and of course the apostles as well. All right, so let's move on now to the Gospel of Mark, where we're going to get into exorcism and also confession. So here's the reading. It's the Gospel. So from the Gospel of Mark. Then they came to Capernaum, and on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? You have come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him, and with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Now, isn't this amazing? This is chapter 1 of Mark. Now, I urge you, any of you listeners there, or those who may know somebody that wants to get into understanding the Catholic Christian faith, or those who don't even know anything about it, they may be agnostic or atheist, they should start off, in my opinion, and also Father Wade Menezes from EWTN, to read the Gospel of Mark. It's only 16 chapters. So just commit to one chapter a day. You'll be done in 16 days. And then you'll know the teachings of Jesus, essentially. It's short and quick. It's fast moving. And here, it captures the people's audience in the very first chapter about confession. Okay? And so what's interesting is that, it's Saturday. You know, it's the Sabbath. And he's in the church, the synagogue, right? And what's astonishing is Jesus doesn't teach like the scribes. These are the teachers of the law. And these teachers of the law, they like to use all these fancy arguments like lawyers try to do. But at the same time, what they do is they cite, you know, prior scribes. Oh, the scribe, you know, excuse me, the prior rabbi. Oh, the rabbi Gamaliel said this, or the rabbi this said that. But Jesus doesn't say the rabbi said this or the rabbi said that. Jesus was not like the scribes. He spoke on his own personal authority because he was, as God told Moses, the prophet that I'm going to send. So in this sense, Jesus is prophesying. He's speaking for God. But we all know that Jesus is God. He's the Word of God. He's the Word made flesh. Okay? And here, even the evil, the demon that possessed this man recognized God, right? Because they know who God is, who Jesus is. And they actually said it out loud, that they knew his name, and they were scared that they were going to be destroyed. And they admitted, says, "I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." Okay? And they actually said, "What have you to do with us?" That's plural. So there was more than, one unclean spirit. And Jesus exorcised him and by rebuking him. In other words, he got rid of those unclean spirit by rebuking him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." So this is a word of warning that only the exorcist bishops are there. They're also, they have the power of exorcism, and Jesus can make a command to demons. We cannot do that to other people, okay? But we, if it's our own body, of course we can make a command for our own body. We can do that. Anyway, what's also interesting here is notice how this unclean spirit was actually in the synagogue. He was in the church, you know, You know, the more you get involved with, church activities, I mean, don't be surprised if there are people there that are afflicted. Well, and not to scare you, but think about it. The church is God's hospital, right? So it's for those who are sinners, and doesn't that include all of us? So if you want to be treated by God, the physician, who has his designated physicians, meaning the priest, and you want to get treated with the medicine of God, which is the sacraments, such as the Eucharist and confession, well, that's why you go to God's hospital, the church. So don't be surprised if some people are there are more sick than others. And so therefore, you're going to have people who actually might be possessed. But they're in the right place. Where else are they going to go, right? When you go to a gymnasium, and And so, and if you're, you know, obese, you're out of shape, that's where to go. Don't be ashamed of going there. That's where to go to get better physically. Well, if you're a sinner, well, where are you supposed to go? You're supposed to go to church. That's where you're supposed to go to get better, so you'll be in God's graces. Now, here's the other thing that about Jesus, how, you know, it's one thing to have confession. The other thing is exorcisms. The other thing to have confession. And I'll give you a quote here from from Father Gabriel Amorth. He was the chief exorcist of Rome, and he was the exorcist under St. Pope John Paul II and Pope Benedict XVI. And what he is quoted of saying, he said that Satan is more enraged when we take souls away from him through confession than when we take bodies through exorcism. Okay, so the devil himself, Satan himself, is more upset when a person goes to confession than when he goes to an exorcism. And that Father Gabriel Amorth, the chief exorcist of Rome, God bless his soul, I think he died in 2016, he says he advises frequent confession, possibly weekly, to all victims of evil activity. So any of you listeners out there, or if you know somebody who's been abused, who's been raped, who's been hurt, who somehow has some trauma in their life, had some you know, evil curses put on them, or if just who are suffering physically, mentally, emotionally, or have some disability, or has some rife between or split between their family and friends, or what have you, that they advise. This is Father Gabriel Amorth. I think he did like 40 or 60,000 exorcisms. I could be wrong on the exact number, but something great like that. He says he advises frequent confession, possibly weekly. And then the other thing is that he said the way to start, he said, in my experience, is a good general confession, which I always recommend as a starting point. And then he says that's in conjunction with an intense life of prayer and grace. And he said, this is sufficient to end the afflictions. He goes on and says, without prayer and grace, exorcisms are ineffective. Without prayer and grace, exorcisms are ineffective. And so this is why I will encourage all you listeners that you should go to confession, because confession is a sacrament that comes from God himself, the groom, who gives it to his bride, the church. And it's a gift that even Satan hates, because he gets enraged because the souls are taken away from him through confession, rather than when the devil tries to take away bodies through exorcism. So again, I hope all these commentaries and the citations that I have from saints helps you. Thank you for listening in on our program today, and that you tune in every Thursday from 5 to 6 here. I'm also on First Fridays from 5 to 6 with Mike Altshuler. And so you can also see me on YouTube, Vimeo, and Facebook as well. God bless you all. And this is Dr. Anton Raimundo signing off on WTMR 800 AM, where the master reigns, on In His Sign Catholic Radio. God bless you all.